and choosing the Voice of America.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty Olympic greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the July 30th Olympic edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Ladies first, South African swimmer Tatjana Schoonmaker made a big splash in the Olympic pool on Friday. She set a world record in winning her country's first gold medal in Tokyo. The AP's Denny Kep reports.
The woman's 200-meter breaststroke turned out to be the highlight. South African Tatjana Schoonmaker set a world record, posting a swim of just under 2 minutes and 19 seconds.
It didn't feel real to actually break a 2:19. 2:19 has been in the record books for so long. No one has really broken it, so for me in my head, it was just like, if I could get to that time that I swam in the heats and the semis, I would have been so happy. And I was when I saw the 2:19. It couldn't have been a better race. It was really just such a tough race, and we were all racing to do well. And it just still doesn't sink in, so maybe one day.
American Lily King finished less than a second behind her, earning the silver in one of the best swims of her life.
I just wanted to go out fast and see if I could hang on, and I haven't watched the race yet, but I feel like I did, so good enough for a silver medal and a best time, so I'm really happy.
And her teammate Annie Laser surprised the field by snagging the bronze. Ryan Murphy earned Team USA's only other medal, a silver in the men's 200-meter backstroke. I'm Denny Kapp.
Thanks, Denny. On the Olympic track Friday, Team Ethiopia and Team Uganda won their first medals at the Tokyo Games in the men's 10,000 meters race. Ethiopia's Selemon Barega won the gold in a time of 27 minutes and 43.22 seconds. And the Ugandans, Joshua Cheptegei and Jacob Kiplimo, won the silver and bronze, respectively. Now, Cheptegei is the world record holder at 10,000 meters, but as an indicator of how tactical Olympic finals can be, Joshua's time in Tokyo of 27 minutes and 43.63 seconds was more than a minute and a half slower than his world record.
My name is Shida Len, a Ugandan 400 meters Olympian at this year's Olympics. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
Thank you, Shida, and good luck at your first Olympics. Shida is scheduled to compete on Tuesday morning in Tokyo. That's Monday evening here in the USA in the preliminary heats of the women's 400 meters. Also preparing to get on the track in Tokyo is Angelina Lahalit, who will run for the refugee Olympic team in the women's 1500 meters. Angelina is originally from South Sudan, and this is her second Olympics. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports Olympic profile, VOA's Gwen Uten tells us more. Sporty Olympic greetings, Gwen.
Sporty Olympic greetings, Sonny. In 2016, track runner Angelina Nadai Lohalith was one of 10 athletes to compete at the Rio Games as part of the first ever Olympic refugee team. Now the 26-year-old is set to compete for a second time at this year's Tokyo Games. And just days before the opening ceremony, Lohalith told Reuters News she had a dream of seeing the world, but wasn't sure how she would achieve it until she became an Olympian.
I used to tell myself that one time I will travel with the aeroplane in various places, but I never knew that what will make me to travel. I just know that one time I'm going to travel. But now it happened in 2016 that I traveled to Brazil and compete international Olympic. Then I realized that, I have a talent that can take me far. For me, it was really, really, I was really, really happy for it.
Lohalith was preparing to travel again, this time to Tokyo, as one of five refugees originally from South Sudan who competed in Rio. But then the pandemic hit, forcing her to leave her training camp for a refugee camp in Kakuma in northeast Kenya. Lohalith had previously lived at the camp after she escaped South Sudan's civil war in 2002. And she says putting her Olympic dreams on hold last year and returning to Kakuma took a mental and physical toll.
The time when COVID-19 broke, we went home to refugee camps almost now a year. So our good ship that we were, it went down. So by that time, you know, now being in the refugee camp, it's sometimes, most of the time it is challenging. It's not a kind of a good place that you can train with. First of all, it was because of the weather. Then the place is not, sometimes it's not safe for training. But then we never lose hope. I never lose hope because I know there's something ahead of me. It is not something that happened to me only. It happened to the whole world.
The delayed games caused a disruption in Lohali's training, and to get back into competitive shape, she trained for 1 hour on the track in the Kenyan capital, Nairobi, and she leaned on her natural talent for running that was discovered in high school. A teacher encouraged Lohalith to take part in a race that was founded by Kenyan long-distance runner Tegla Larupe. Larupe is a former marathon world record holder and currently chief of mission for the IOC's Olympic refugee team. And ahead of the Tokyo game, she expressed pride at seeing her team of athletes on the Olympic stage.
It is a teamwork to see that kids with displaced background have the right to compete like any other. So today our athletes are athletes, not like when they went to Rio. Now they are competing because of time.
Larupe was also on her way to Tokyo, but she tested positive for COVID-19 just days before the start of the games. It's being reported she will not travel to Japan. However, Angelina Lohalith is in Tokyo, where she says she hopes to run even faster than she ran at the Rio Games. In 2016, she finished the 1500-meter race with a time of 4 minutes and 33 seconds. Now Lohalith hopes to cut her time in that same event to under 4 minutes 30 seconds.
I'm really now struggling to release some second, but if I can just run under that, I know it for me it will be a big achievement for me.
The women's 1500 meter qualifying heats are scheduled to begin on Monday in Tokyo. This year's refugee team is nearly 3 times larger than the inaugural team in 2016. The team of 29 athletes are from 11 countries that include Cameroon, Congo, Republic of Congo, Eritrea, Sudan, and South Sudan. Per tradition, the country of Greece led the parade of athletes during last Friday's opening ceremony, but following close behind were the members of the refugee team, banded together under the white Olympic flag. And that's all from me. More Olympic news to come. Sunny, I'll hand it back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden.
I'm Kendra Harrison. I'm the 100 hurdle world record holder for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
And world record holder Kendra Harrison will also be on the track in Tokyo this weekend when the preliminary round heats begin in the women's 100 meters hurdles.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel. The United Nations has classified Yemen as the largest humanitarian crisis in the world. We'll talk with two regional experts about the Biden administration's approach to ending the deadly civil war in Yemen, preventing Al-Qaeda and other terrorist groups from threatening regional and U.S. stability, and curbing Iranian influence. That's Encounter this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Thanks, Carol. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to a special Olympic edition of The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In Olympic women's football Friday, Canada, Australia, Sweden, and the United States all scored victories to advance to the semifinals. Regional rivals Canada and the USA both advanced by winning dramatic penalty kick shootouts. The Canadian women edged Mexico 4-3 on penalty kicks in Rifu, Japan. And in a rematch of the 2019 Women's World Cup final, the top-ranked USA beat the Netherlands 4-2 on penalty kicks in Yokohama, Japan. The American women are bidding for a fifth Olympic gold medal. In Kashima, Japan, another very tight quarterfinal. Australia edged Great Britain 4-3 in extra time. And in Saitama, Sweden defeated host Japan 3-1. In the semifinals of the Olympic Women's Football Tournament on August 2nd in Japan, Sweden will play Australia in Yokohama, and the United States will take on Canada in Kashima.
Sporty greetings. This is Sunday Olise, former captain and coach of the Super Eagles of Nigeria. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, Sunday. Our VOA Olympic fans will remember Sunday Olise won a gold medal with the Nigerian team at the 1996 Olympic Men's Football Tournament here in the USA. In Olympic Men's Football at the Tokyo Games, quarterfinal action takes place on Saturday in Japan. Let's take a look at the matchups. Ivory Coast will play Spain in Rifu, Japan. Japan will host New Zealand in Kashima. South Korea will meet Mexico in Yokohama, Japan. And Egypt will take on defending Olympic champion Brazil in Saitama, Japan. For reaction to Egypt advancing to the quarterfinals, Iron Mike Mbonye called Tokyo, where he reached the Secretary General of Egypt's National Olympic Committee, Sharif Alarian.
Dear Mike, our win in the last group stage match against Australia 2-0 and qualifying to the quarterfinals in the Tokyo 2020 Olympics in football was a great achievement. Our boys were tough, were effective on goal. Going through this tough group, especially having Spain, Argentina, and Australia with us in the group, was not easy at all, especially with the win of Australia over Argentina in the first game. It really showed that anyone can do anything in this group. Spain passed as the top of the group, Egypt second. In the quarterfinals, we are going to meet Brazil. Brazil are the favorites to win this tournament. They are going for gold, but still, we still have chances. Our boys are not going to be afraid, and hopefully a big surprise will happen on the 31st when they meet Brazil.
Were there any particular Egyptian players who really stood out for you in the victory over Australia?
In the victory over Australia, it was so obvious that Mohamed Chinawi, our goalkeeper, was man of the match. He saved at least three or four very close calls. If it was another youngster goalkeeper, he wouldn't have been able to. He's one of our three players who are above the age of 23, chosen by Captain Shawi Gharib, the head coach. Captain Shawi Gharib chose him and the two defenders, Ahmed Hegazi and Mahmoud Al-Winch. They all had a great match, a solid defense, but the goalkeeper, Hamish, never really stood out.
Do you see the Egyptian football team getting to podium performance in the ongoing games?
The Olympics is about medals, and the football team has never scored a medal in the Olympics. The closest we were was actually in Japan in 1964, where our football team finished fourth. Let's hope this generation can do better.
Does Team Egypt have medal chances in the remaining events at the Games?
We have two bronze medals till now in taekwondo. Hidaya Malak, our girl who scored a bronze medal in Rio also 2016, and Sif Hisa, a youngster who also scored a bronze medal on the same day. So our tally is two bronze medals till now. We are hoping for more. We want to break the five medal record that Egypt has scored many numerous times in the Olympics. We want to exceed it this time. This is our goal. We do have chances. We do have chances in wrestling, in karate, in modern pentathlon, in equestrian, in athletics. So in swimming, hopefully some of them will come and we can talk again and celebrate.
That's Sharif Alarian, the Secretary General of Egypt's National Olympic Committee. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Tokyo, Japan.
Hi, this is Tatiana McFadden, 17-time Paralympic medalist, 7-time gold medalist, 17-time marathon champion. And you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and the artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Hi, my name is Julius Diego, former world javelin champion and Olympic silver medalist. And you are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
My name is Emmanuel Tufour, 3-time Olympian for Ghana and former 100 meters sprinter. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Some of Africa's top female sprinters on Friday showed off their speed, and they also showed they're ready to contend for medals at the Tokyo Olympics. Joining us now with more is Samson Omale. Sporty Friday Olympic greetings, Samson.
Sporty Friday Olympic greetings to you, Sunny. It was supposed to be a little more than a warm-up for athletes. However, the event turned into a show-off when the Olympic 100-meter women sprinters delivered a series of scorching practice times, suggesting bigger things to come when the medals are at stake. Ivory Coast speed star Marie Joseph Toulou set a new women's 100 meters African record of 10.78 seconds in the heat on Friday afternoon.
Toulou got out well. Emmanuel's with her. Marie-Jose Toulou starting to create some space, and she cruises home in 10.78 into a headwind. Best time of the day.
Marie-Jose Toulou went ahead of the likes of Jamaican pair of Eileen Johnson-Herra and gold medal favorite Shirley Ann Fraser-Pryce. In another heat, Nigeria's other entry in the Blue Ribbon event, Blessing Okabere, dominated heat 6, taking her foot off the gas with just about 10 meters left in the race to clock 11.05 seconds for the win. Her compatriot, Grace Nwokocha, ran a new lifetime best of 11.00 seconds to finish third in the women's 100 meters heat, securing automatic qualification to the semifinals on Saturday. Away from the 100 meters, the first of 48 gold medals on the line over the 9-day meet was up for grabs on Friday in the men's 10,000 meters. Suleiman Bariga of Ethiopia pipped race favorite Joshua Cheptegei of Uganda for gold in the men's final, winning by a time of 27 minutes, 43.22 seconds, just 0.41 seconds ahead of Cheptegei. They all had to sprint for the finish line as they could not be separated after 25 laps of the track. and on to the steeplechase event, where one thing that can usually be relied upon at the Olympics is that Kenya will win the men's steeplechase. But that postulation appears threatened as Ethiopia's Lamecha Girma led the qualifiers in the 3,000-meter steeplechase by winning his heat in 8 minutes, 0.983 seconds. Kenya's Benjamin Keegan and Abraham Kipwot finished with the day's third and fourth best times. Managing sports editor for the Kenya's Nation newspaper, Elias Makori, who is in Tokyo, summarizes Team Kenya's performance in the heats and qualifying rounds as at Friday morning.
On the opening session of the track and field program here at the National Stadium in Tokyo, losing out in the 800 meters, just one person in the final for the women, that's Mary Mora. Of course, the team captain, Eunice Sum, dropping out, not qualifying for the second round, and Emily Tuwei also did not make it, so just Mary Mora going through to the next round in the 800 meters. In the steeplechase, again, we lost Leonard Bett, didn't go through, but Abraham made it, and of course, Benjamin Keegan. So we have two in the steeplechase in the final and one in the 800 meters. This afternoon, we're looking forward to the 5,000 meters qualifying for the women.
Hello, sports fans. This is Paul Tergat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to the Sony side of sports on the Voice of America.
And now to the biggest highlight on Friday, which was at the Aquatic Center. South African Tajiana Shoemaker smashed the long-standing women's 200 meters breaststroke world record to win Olympic gold early Friday morning. Shoemaker returned a time of 2 minutes 18.95 seconds to better the 2 minutes 19.11 seconds set by Denmark's Rikki Møller Pedersen in 2013. It made her the first female South African to win an Olympic swimming gold since 1996, when Penny Haines swept the women's 100 meters and 200 meters breaststroke. Shoemaker wore a look of disbelief as she looked up at the results board before breaking into tears as she was embraced by her rivals at the Tokyo Aquatic Center.
Yeah, I feel like it really hasn't sunk in yet. We were even saying before the medals, like, did we just swim? The whole process went really quick. I was very excited to finally also finish my individual races, and I'm excited to go home and celebrate just like being at the Olympics with my family and stuff. So, I think it will kick in when I get home probably. I don't know if it should be kicking in now, because if I was crying that much when it's like half there, half not, I just can't imagine.
In Nigeria, the Athletics Federation of Nigeria on Thursday admitted lapses on its part over the disqualification of 10 athletes from the Tokyo Olympics for not complying with out-of-competition drug testing requirements. The Athletics Integrity Unit had announced the disqualification of the Nigerian athletes. The AFN, which has been plagued by power tussle for several years, said they will take responsibility for the lapses that led to the disqualification in Tokyo even before the events got started. Seyi Ogunlewe, a Nigerian sprinter who did not make it to the Tokyo Games, and Emmanuel Adeboega, a sprint coach, blamed the Nigerian administrators for the embarrassment.
I don't think this has happened anywhere in the world before. I've never heard of this story before, that you get to the Games and you're not competing because of the incompetence of the people that are meant to be in charge. So unfortunately, I'm devastated for the guys that are there, who are meant to be in the right frame of mind to compete.
Let me even leave ministry and federation. The coaches, they know the athletes have qualified. Are you telling me my athletes will be in the Olympic team? And I know that if it is not, it doesn't go for like 3 out of competition doctors, you won't be eligible. I'm a coach and I will not know that.
And now to skateboarding. South Africa's youngest representative at the Tokyo Olympic Games, Boipelo Awua, was forced to withdraw after fracturing her pelvis while practicing for the women's street competition. The 15-year-old Northern Cape High School pupil was Africa's only representative in the women's street skateboarding event. Awua speaks of her experience at the Olympics shortly after her return to South Africa, where she has been ordered to rest for at least 6 weeks.
My injury, I feel like it's skateboarding, and skateboarding is a dangerous sport. But going into the competition, I feel like I was well prepared and I've worked very hard for this. But the injury, it happened, and there's nothing I can really do about that. My focus right now is just to heal properly and then discuss with my family and then discuss on when I can get back to training and make it to the 2024 Paris Olympic Games and do my best and hopefully come back with a medal next time.
The teenager also provided some details about her injury and what is next for her.
The injury happened my second day of practice, and it was just such a weird injury because during my run, I was practicing, and this trick was something that I'm used to, and in skateboarding, it's such a technical sport. And then I don't know what happened, but then I got the fracture, but I continued skating for that day. And then only later on, I saw a doctor. We went for x-rays, and I found out I fractured my pelvic bone.
In basketball, the Nigerian female basketball team, the Tigress, suffered a second straight defeat at the Tokyo 2020 Olympics on Friday. The Afrobasket women champions were routed 87-62 by the French side. Nigeria had an impressive showing in the opening round of the tournament, despite losing to the U.S. by 9 points. And in Olympic men's football, Egypt and Ivory Coast are gearing up for their quarterfinals fixtures at the 2020 Tokyo Olympics, hoping that Africa will have at least one representative at the semifinals. Egypt will face the gold medal holders, Brazil, who won Group D ahead of the Ivorians in their last 8 match on Saturday. Spain, who drew their final pool game 1-1 with Argentina, win the group and will now face Ivory Coast on Saturday in the other quarterfinals.
Thanks, Samson. That's Samson Omale with a spicy Olympic package.
Hi, this is Andre DeGrasse, 3-time Olympic sprint medalist, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hi, I'm Kim Lewis, moderator for Issues in the News. Join me and a panel of journalists as we discuss the latest top stories of the week, including a special panel of U.S. lawmakers met for the first time to hear testimony in an investigation into the events of the January 6th attack on the Capitol. Listen to Issues in the News this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Thanks, Kim. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to a special Olympic edition of the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In Olympic boxing, Somalia's Ramla Ali lost her bout on Monday, but she has still sparked hope in her home country. Mohamed Kai reports from Mogadishu, Somalia.
Somali female boxer Ramla Ali lost to Romanian Claudia Nachita in the round of 16 at the Olympics Monday, but her performance in the ring excited thousands of Somalis back home. Abdurrahman Ali Mira, chief of Somali Boxing Federation, said upcoming boxers look to Ali as their role model. He said Ramla's representation of Somalia at the Olympics was historic and realized the dreams of boxers following years of hard work and training. He added, Ali's experience will motivate upcoming Somali boxers who look up to her and believe in the spirit of flying the flag of Somalia in the international boxing competitions. Hundreds of Somalis posted messages on social media praising her courage of being the first female boxer representing the Horn of African country in the Olympics. Dair Abdile was among hundreds of supporters that watched her fight on the TV in Mogadishu. He says they had high expectations of Ramla's performance in the ring due to the professional training, and despite the defeat, they believe she will perform well in other upcoming events. Boxing is not one of the most popular sports among Somalis, but the few professionals like Omar Abdi Ali, who train outside the country as does Ramla, hope they will follow her footsteps. He says he's proud of Ramla representing Somalia in the ring in Tokyo Monday and hopes to join her in the upcoming boxing competitions while jointly representing their country. Somalia is represented by one other athlete at the Tokyo Games. Sports officials say they are making plans to send more athletes to upcoming Olympics. Mohamed Kaye for VOA News in Mogadishu, Somalia.
My name is Nesli Catherine. I am the first female boxer from Uganda that will represent my country at the Olympics in Tokyo, Japan. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I'm telling the parents out there and the girls who are interested in boxing that please, parents, support your daughters in any sport, anything they would like, so that you do be the first, you do help them with the first blessing for the game. And the girls out there, please be disciplined and fear God first, because in fearing God, there is where you get the knowledge of everything and the blessings. And please be authentic to yourself, believe in yourself, and always keep in mind that everything is possible.
Thank you for that message of hope, Catherine. Catherine lost her bout at the Tokyo Olympics, but we definitely give her an official Sunny Side of Sports salute. And that wraps up the July 30th Olympic edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in and have a nice weekend. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.